Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We are very, very pleased that you are here with us today. Oh, we've got a wonderful show in store for you with a great in-studio guest, and we'll get to that shortly. First, let's, of course, as we always do, our quotes of the day from the universe and Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. Please tell anyone who wants to know that a dream not followed by consistent action, however humble or small the actions may be, points to either a huge contradiction or a gigantic misunderstanding. Because when people are clear and they realize just how powerful they really are, wild horses can't stop them from taking baby steps every day. Yeehaw! The universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Reminding us that, you know, just even small, tiny baby steps that take us in the direction of our dreams, that take us towards that goal, that intention, you know, that just those smallest actions can have huge effects over time. And that we're not meant to sit here and have a dream and sit back and do nothing about it. We have these visions. We have these crazy dreams to inspire us, to motivate us, to move us forward, to get us to take action so that we can take that action joyfully and have a joyful journey towards wherever we happen to be going. So, again, it doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be these gigantic, massive action plans. Even just baby steps. Just the smallest of actions. And maybe that action includes talking to a friend about it, writing it down on a piece of paper, looking up comparisons or something. You know, just any little thing. A little bit every day goes so, so far. So let's not shortchange ourselves by sitting on our dreams. Let's inspire ourselves to just take those actions. Because the really cool thing is when we start taking little actions towards our dreams, then when other people see us, they're not so intimidated. They're not so like, oh my God, I could never do what she's doing because look how energetic and all the stuff they're doing. But if we just do a little bit at a time, it's like, oh, yeah, like I could do that. Like I have this big dream, but I can do it, you know, just a little step at a time, too. So not only does it help to move us closer to the very thing that we love in our life, it helps others to do the same by setting a very realistic and gentle example for others to follow. So please, please remember, the dream is to be followed by consistent, however humble or small those actions may be. Thank you, universe. Okay, let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. You are an extension of that which is non-physical. You are the leading edge. More specifically focused, eyes of that which is non-physical. The current you're using as the energy that you are creating with is the non-physical. We are all in this together. You are the more specific eyes of the non-physical energy, Abraham. So this is one of the more esoteric quotes, I'll say, from Abraham. Really trying to say and trying to remind us that, yes, we may have a physical body. Yes, you know, we may live in three-dimensional reality. But we are just the tip of an energetic iceberg. We are just the mere focal point of something energetic that is non-physical, that can't be touched, but maybe can be felt. And that the when we tap into, as in with our first quote, the energy that we tap into when we do things like take action towards our dreams, that's an energy that doesn't necessarily come from physical reality. It comes from a non-physical place. And what we are the focal points, or as Abraham likes to say, the specific eyes, the more specific eyes. In other words, the more defined way of looking at things. So I think what Abraham is trying to say is like, yes, we're physical, but remember we're much more than just physical. And I think when we remember that, we walk through life a slightly different way. We take the things that come to us in a slightly different manner. And we look at ourselves, at others, at situations, not from such a literal point of view, but from a more energetic, a more spiritual, some may say, point of view. So, two wonderful quotes from the universe and from Abraham. I hope you enjoyed them. We'll have two more quotes for you next week. And now, it is my extreme pleasure to welcome onto our show our guest for today. Rob, do you think you can move that other video feed over? We're actually doing kind of a special, little special thing. I'm trying to do two video feeds on Facebook on one show. So I may not be able to see all your comments, but we're going to try and do this as best we can. So it is my pleasure to welcome Nancy Collier, who is a psychotherapist in private practice, an ordained interfaith minister, mindfulness teacher, relationship coach, and blogger for Psychology Today and Huffington Post. She is the author of the new book, The Power of Off: The Mindful Way to Stay Sane in a Virtual World. Her previous books include Inviting a Monkey to Tea. See, I love this woman. I love tea. I love mindfulness. This is great. Befriending Your Mind and Discovering Lasting Contentment, and also Getting Out of Your Own Way, Unlocking Your True Performance Potential. And I'm very pleased that her travels take her to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, Nancy.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Ah, wonderful to have you here. And, you know, psychotherapy have a very special place in my heart because my wife is a psychotherapist.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's an LCSW who does EMDR and somatic experiencing,
okay. Right.
And who speaks Chinese, which is, because she's from China.
Right. But English too, I hope.
Yes, yes. And yes, and she's a special lady,
Yeah.
Have you always been a therapist?
For a long time, more than 2 decades.
Quite a while.
A lot of people.
And how did you get into sort of the mindfulness side of things? Because it sounds like not only do you practice it, you write about it.
Yes. My path to mindfulness actually, in a certain way, it was given to me. You could say I was actually born into a family with 2 Buddhist parents.
Ooh.
Kind of crazy. And my...
May I ask what form of Buddhism? Because I know
sure,
there...
Because yeah.
I have a good friend who's a Theravadan monk. I know,
yeah.
I know a Mahayana monk. So.
Yeah. So my mom was a Tibetan Buddhist.
Tibetan, okay.
And my dad practiced more Zen.
Okay.
But from the time that I was very young, my dad was a psychiatrist. My mom was a psychologist.
Oh.
So that's kind of terrifying right there. But my dad happened to travel quite a bit with Krishnamurti.
Oh.
So he did a number of different... videotapes with David Bohm and Krishnamurti,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
we spent a lot of time with Krishnamurti.
Oh, wow.
And he was around. I mean, and for me, it was just another guy. I had
oh
no
my
idea.
God.
And he would always say to me, you know, where is your attention? You know, and I'm like 12. My attention is on this 17 magazine. I don't know where my attention is. So I had sort of no idea, you know,
wow.
this legacy. And my mom wrote some wonderful books on spirituality and psychology. And she led Surya Das's group here in New York.
Oh.
And so Surya was always around, and just all the teachers mm-hmm. were around. We just knew them. And but I was the kid of that, so it wasn't
yeah.
really mine. And then, it's interesting, I became a very, very serious athlete. An equestrian. And
nice.
Was competing at, you know, the highest level in the country. And I really had to find not just the physical mm-hmm. wherewithal to do something of excellence,
mm-hmm.
but I had to find a capacity to really be fully present in the
mm-hmm.
ring. And it needed more than top training. It needed more than all the tools I had been introduced to.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to look at just ways of being with the states that were arising in me, whether it was anxiety or whatever was arising, from a slightly different place. So maybe from a place of witness or a place of awareness. So it started to enter my life through trying to be a great athlete, and I needed more
wow.
than just tools.
Right.
But then I would say, really, if we were to say the biggest thing, is that I was a triple type A person.
Oh.
That if I wasn't accomplishing or doing or learning
right.
nonstop, and if I had open space in front of me that wasn't with something interesting or with an experience or a learning or something, that I really didn't know how to be.
Right.
I was a fantastic doer,
right.
and it served me quite well,
right.
but I needed to learn how to be.
Right. It just completely blows my mind that, like, you hang out with David Bohm and Jay Krishnamurti because, you know, as a kid, like, you know, oh, they're just regular people. Because when I, like, very first got on my spiritual way back when I was in college, I mean, this is like 79, 80, 81, like, they were some of the first, like, people that I read, and they were always like, oh my God, they seemed like such incredible
pioneers.
People. Real pioneers.
I mean, it's actually remarkable to see how available now the non-dual teachings are. People now don't really realize.
Yeah, how much it was on the fringe.
Oh my goodness.
Just a short time ago, just you know, 20 years ago, 30
Absolutely.
Years ago.
Yeah, so to be steeped in that, you know, stew or you marinate in that stew,
yeah.
it never didn't resonate with me
right.
because it's my language.
Yeah, wow. Wow, it's funny. It's like as a rebellious teenager, it's surprising you didn't become an evangelical Christian or something. Okay, time for us to take our first break. When we come back, let's find out what happened after she learned to integrate this into her physical challenges of excellence. And then we'll kind of get around to her latest, her latest topic of technology. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanities. Hey, a big shout out to all the people on the Facebook live stream watching. I can like see there are a bunch of people who joined the video. I have to get up over the next commercial break and go take a look if any of your comments. I apologize because we're doing a different angle. I'm doing the laptop a little further away, so I can't quite see your comments in the phone. It's a little more direct, but that's on my Conscious Consultant page. So if you want to see the close-up video, go to the Facebook.com/consciousconsultant. Okay, so Nancy, so we were talking last segment of just kind of like how you sort of came to mindfulness, but you kind of always, it was always there, but it was sort of those challenge of trying to be excellent as an equestrian, sort of the physical challenge, in a sense, kind of made you realize that it takes more than something physical to really be excellent at it.
Absolutely. And it was not only for to learn how to win better, not only right. competitive, but there was also a sense in me, as I was just saying, that I couldn't keep chasing a next experience. I was right. burning out. I was burning
right.
out.
Right, because it's always like the next goal, and you reach that goal, and you're happy for like 3 seconds,
That's
and
it.
It's like, oh, what's next to do? And
That's
then it's
it.
The next big goal.
And 3 would have been generous.
Yeah.
You know, I was preparing for the next event before I had gotten. Yeah. So I got luckily, I'm aware enough that I realized that I couldn't outrun myself for my whole life.
Mm.
And I also, you know, I became a psychotherapist over 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really saw how just dealing with people's minds
mm-hmm.
and their ego minds
mm-hmm.
ultimately did not create healing.
Mm.
That we needed more than just understanding your story.
Right.
And so that also, I started to see how practices from non-duality, from, you know, Tibetan Buddhism, they were incredibly helpful
mm-hmm.
in creating a different kind of healing.
Mm-hmm.
Not just more information for your mind to,
right.
you know, bandy about,
right.
but
right.
shifting to a different way of being, to
right.
who's
right.
living this life.
Right.
When that starts to shift, it gets more interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have you read Michael Singer's book yet?
Yes,
yeah.
Loved that book. I loved
Untethered Soul,
yeah.
And I just got, someone mentioned that his new book, The Surrender Experiment, is even better. So
is
I
it?
Got it, but I haven't read it yet.
Okay, I haven't gotten that one
yeah,
yet. But
yeah,
Untethered
yeah.
Soul is just
yeah.
phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Is it's not that we're not an ego self. It's there.
Right.
We're human.
Right.
But it's the realizing the what else.
Right.
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 The larger picture. And just how much freer my life felt when I started to seriously practice.
Right.
And
how old were you when you started seriously practicing, would you say?
Seriously practicing around 32, 33, a while ago.
But a good 20 years after you were first introduced to kind of all
That's
this
right.
stuff.
Although, you know, I meditated in my 20s off and you know, at my father's funeral, you know, it was a meditation practice. That's what
really?
We did.
Ah.
We all. So there never wasn't a time that meditation wasn't in our lives. So I had always meditated, but I think that it really was this burning out of nextness that caught up with me in my early 30s. And I really got it at a very cellular level that something external was never going to complete me.
Right.
It was never going to ultimately give me what I needed, what I really needed, which was a sense of wholeness internally.
Right, right. So now that you've been, you know, having a sort of a serious practice, and this isn't, I'm assuming it doesn't just involve meditation.
No.
You do other things too.
Yes. I mean, I practice non-duality.
Okay.
So what that means is essentially the non-separateness between experience and the experiencer.
Mm.
Not to go into it here, but it's very similar to Buddhism.
Right.
And how do we practice it? We practice it not just on the cushion, obviously, but
right.
moment to moment of recognizing the awareness that's here,
right.
that's making all of this actually possible. That's
right.
that what is it that illuminates all that we see?
Yeah.
It's just keeping one foot in that ocean all the time, if you will.
Right.
So
right.
it's not, you know, retreating to a cave. It's very
right.
much here.
Right. Right. Yeah. Because that's one of the things. I mean, I you know, people know who follow me that, you know, the person who owned this station and the wellness center before I did became a Theravada monk, meditating in the forests of Thailand and Malaysia for the last 7 years. He's actually, I think, in Italy right now. But I've always felt like the time for monks is over. Not mm-hmm. that people shouldn't be monks, mm-hmm. but it's now time to live sort of the principles that the monk lives, but in regular, normal,
yeah.
everyday life here in the middle of New York City,
yeah.
not out in the middle of nowhere, but
yeah.
here where we're interacting with each other and in the middle of the commerce center of the planet.
That's
you know?
It. Yeah. It does feel more and more that, well, you know, to go off and leave out people, you know.
Yeah.
People are the problem we have, right? It's people.
Yes.
So when we just retreat to, you know, our silence, it works for some folks, but it does have a kind of avoidant quality about it.
Mm.
Certainly, you know, for those of us who are in the world and interested in the world and the juicy stuff of mind, it's not about, you know, not getting to live mind. It's just really about realizing, again, the moreness of it. And that we can only practice that in our families,
yeah.
in our relationships, yeah. in our jobs.
Was it Osho who said, if you think you're enlightened, go spend a weekend with
your
family?
Family. Yes.
I love
yes.
it. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, this is where the hard part of where to really practice it. Okay, so let's get to kind of your latest, your book, The Power of Off.
Yeah.
Technology is kind of an amplifier, isn't it?
An amplifier of the mind, for
yeah.
sure. Absolutely.
I mean, it kind of just takes us wherever we're at, and it's like, woof.
Yes, yes. Well, it's interesting because, you know, working with clients all day, I really started to see how people are really walking around. I call it a state of being tired. They're simultaneously tired and wired.
Yeah.
And they're amped up and kind of on crack, but they're also depleted at such a fundamental level.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are bringing their phones into sessions with me. They leave them on.
Yeah.
There's a kind of constant Uber availability, right, that we're expected to hold up. And our nervous systems are really becoming fried at a very, very real level.
Right.
And also that what we really crave as human beings, meaning, purpose, a sense of being part of something larger, connection, the way we're using and interacting with technology right now, it's not serving those larger, that larger purpose.
Right.
It's not taking us to a state of well-being. It's not leading to a life well-lived.
Right.
So I got very interested in, I started interviewing people and just diving into the topic. And I was seeing that more and more people are struggling with this as an addiction,
mm-hmm.
as they struggle with any addiction, and are less and less able of just being with themselves, being in the present moment, being with their direct experience. They don't, we're losing the capacity to do that.
And I know, like, from my wife, from she works with a Chinese psychiatrist out in Brooklyn, and she sees a lot of Chinese kids there, and I'm sure it's true not just for Chinese kids, but there's a huge, like, computer game addiction among teenagers, especially in high school, and that, you know, in some of these households where education is prized so much, like, the parents are beside themselves because their kids just want to stay home in bed and play computer games all day long and don't want to go to school, and that's, like,
terrifying.
Terrifying.
And
yeah.
You know, we're seeing too, what happens really in the brain, I mean, just at a, you know, neuroscience level, is that when we use technology, we're flooded with dopamine.
Right.
And so we get this feel-good hit.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you open your laptop and that dun-da-da-da, you know, everyone gets a little bit juiced, you know? And then what happens, though, is that when we get a thought of using or we hear a notification, we get flooded with cortisol, which most people know is the fight or flight, stress hormone. And so the only way we know how to calm ourselves down is to get on again. So we're in this feedback loop. And we're actually, the only thing really different about this addiction is that we've all drunk the Kool-Aid. We're all in. So in other addictions, the thing that's working for us is that sooner or later, you're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your job.
Right.
You cannot keep a life going with most addictions.
Right.
With this one, you're an insider. You're not an outsider, right? You're at the Genius Bar with your sparkly case. You're good to go. So that really worked for us in helping people get off. But these kids are being given these devices, their front brains are not ready yet. Adult front brains are not ready yet.
Yeah.
So we're giving them the equivalent of a really serious drug, and we're imagining that they can manage this when most of the parents are addicts themselves.
Right. And we don't even know it because we don't really look at it as an addiction. You know, we think about it, oh, they're just playing with technology. They just like technology. That's okay because, you know, technology is everywhere. You need to know it.
Yeah, but the thing is technology is allowing them to, for one thing, not have to do any of the hard work and the effort that actually creates self-esteem. So they Google something. They don't think about it. They find an answer the easiest way, the most immediate way. Text their relationships now instead of taking a walk.
Right.
They're losing emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
They're losing a lot of the things that ultimately make them feel self-esteem, right? It looks fun. It's easier. It's more immediate. But what they're giving up is profound. And we're seeing kids also, the loneliness rates have gone from 11 to 40%. Depression has skyrocketed.
Wow.
Suicide rates have doubled.
The biggest
group are teen girls. And so we're doing something to our kids that's quite serious by allowing them to use in this way. Not just our kids, ourselves as well. But it's important for parents to look at the skills they're giving up, deep thinking, failure. We're taking failure out. We don't let our kids fail anymore.
These are
important things about building a human being that can trust himself, herself.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's like we're learning all this great stuff in school except how to be a human being.
That's it.
Okay, so it's time for us to take another quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about how to recognize whether it is too much and what we can do about it. And of course, if anybody would like to call in and ask Nancy your own questions, the call-in number is 877-480-4120. And if you're on the Facebook live stream, just type your question in the comments field and we'll get to it right now. So everybody, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Nancy Collier, author of the book, The Power of Off. I'm just curious, Nancy, was there one particular like incident or thing that happened that was kind of like the spark of like, enough is enough, I got to write about this?
Oh, there were so many. I'm just thinking, one of my first experiences was I was a kind of newbie on Facebook. This was probably, I don't know, 9 years ago or so. Uh-huh. And I remember that there was a woman that I deeply respect. She's uh-huh. a woman in her 50s. She's successful. She, you know, lots and lots of wonderful things about her. And I saw that she posted up for an early morning bike ride, you know, now finishing it off with a refreshing acai juice. And sounds normal now, yeah. But I remember in that moment thinking, I must be losing my mind. Why would this woman put that in a public forum? And why would I care that she just had a juice?
Right.
I mean, it was literally like one of these, you know, Twilight Zone moments where I realized the world was changing. The world was fundamentally changing. And I needed to understand it. I try and understand things. That's one of my ways of coping. Mm. I didn't get it. Mm. And there was also a moment where, you know, if I'm completely transparent, I became addicted to email.
Ah.
I was a complete email addict. And it was not really like I wasn't expecting anything, you know, from Obama coming in. You know, there was nobody at the State Department needed me.
Right.
But I was checking in bathroom stalls. Mm. So I had that feeling of like, oh God, maybe something great. You know, that's the sort of gambler's mentality, right? Maybe something great I can't even know would come in. And one day I walked into my home and I walked right by my kids with a perfunctory hello and went straight to my email, and something stopped in me and said, what's happening here? What is happening?
Gotcha.
And luckily, I'm aware enough that I said, this is not okay. Mm. The way I'm living is not okay. Mm. And I'm using it, as many of us are using it, as a way of staying constantly distracted from the present moment. Mm. After all of my training and all my years on the cushion, here I am running to an email because it's anywhere but here. So I could start to feel some of my own tendencies, those early sort of, you know, let's get out of here tendencies starting to come back. And I certainly knew the work I had done to evolve from that place.
Right.
And I sure didn't want to go back to that state because that's a state, again, of such anxiety.
Right.
I can't tolerate this moment, right? I can't tolerate the open space. There's always an out. And now because it's a condoned out through our phone, it's acceptable to be checking your phone constantly.
Right.
That was a real wake-up call for me. And now, you know, when I'm with friends or I'm with important people and they start doing that or they're checking or they put the phone in between us when we're having a coffee or whatever it is, I'll just ask them, you know, I'd prefer if while we're together, you put that away, you know, and when you, if it's not possible because you're waiting on something or what have you, let's reconvene this when you can be fully available. And just what's amazing is when you start living that way, being the light in the darkness, being the sanity in the insanity, people really respond and follow it.
Really?
They're so excited to have a place where both people are fully present.
Yes,
because we're all feeling the same sense of distraction and no one is with you when they're with you.
Right.
And, you know, every conversation is interrupted. It's not really working. What I am learning in my office and from hundreds and hundreds of interviews for the book, it's not really working for anyone.
Right, right. So when somebody like gets to that point, as you did, saying that this is an addiction, this is no good, it is too much, like how do you recommend somebody just start to have that separation without having the separation anxiety?
So the first thing you have to realize is that it's not working for me.
No.
That there's something about it's creating too much anxiety, or I can't be on the grid all the time. You know, we power off our devices, but we don't power off ourselves. That, I mean, that's remarkable. That our nervous system needs time to be doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, people say that we are unfocused, but I would beg to differ. I think we're hyper-focused. So we're always narrowing our attention down onto an object of attention.
Right.
And yet, our nervous system needs time to just float, to not be attending to us something.
Right.
At the same time, we're stuffing ourselves with so much noise, so much information, so much entertainment. We're cramming every corner of our minds with more stuff. And what we really need, what we're craving, is silence and
more space.
Right.
More space.
We call it now bandwidth. I don't have the band. Even our emotional terms are technological. So the first step is really for somebody to become aware enough about how they're doing that they're saying, this is not leading to a good life. This is, at the end of my life, am I going to say that having frittered away this much time on Facebook was how I wanted to spend this existence? Something about that has to take hold. You know, a child born in 2013, by the time he's seven, will have spent a year looking at a screen. By the time he's seven, a year of his life.
Wow.
So we have to start to wake up and grow up.
Yeah.
And what that means is to become more conscious of how we're choosing to use technology. Because right now, you know, the rat has got the scientist in the cage, right? So technology is using us. We're not using it. So every time, for example, that you have a thought that says, oh, I could use, or, you know, I could online shop, or, you know, I could check my Facebook, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We stop for just a moment and we say, first of all, is this coming from habit? Is this coming from, is it really a work-related thing I need to attend to? We investigate,
right?
And then we ask ourselves, what would I have to feel right now if I didn't use? So we pause. Instead of just impulsively responding like an addict, we pause. What would I have to feel? What's here right now that I'm running away from? So we just start to bring awareness into our relationship with technology. So again, we're making choices. We're not surrendering our agency to technology because we can do this. Does that mean we want to? You know, we can shut the garage door, you know, from Bali in our house, but do I want to learn the technology to be, how does that improve my life? To start to ask these questions. So it's not just, can we do it, but do I, want to do it? Does that nourish me in any deeper way?
Yeah, it's that old cliche, like just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
That's right, exactly.
And you know, I just find, like, if it's uncomfortable for you to turn off your phone, like, that's when you have to turn off your phone.
That's the challenge, right? Yeah. If you're noticing, you know, something like 59, the last stat I read was 59% of people feel that they cannot live without their phone. Wow. And they cannot go more than an hour without going on their phone. The average person is now checking their phone every 5 to 6 minutes. So when this is the case, and you notice that you are anxious all the time, mm-hmm. or, you know, you're not okay, as you said, if you're not, mm-hmm. right? We need to look at that. We really need to say, is this okay with you? And then, like your quote, your lovely quote, baby steps, we start implementing, you know, in my book, The Power of Off, I do have a 30-day detox. Uh-huh. So we start implementing little steps day by day. And then by 30 days, we're doing 30 new behaviors, little ones, like the first half hour when you wake up in the morning, you don't use. You turn off your notifications. That's a really simple one. Just stop getting notifications unless it's an emergency, so you're not getting dinged into high alert.
Right.
Which sets off, again, the cortisol.
Right.
Or, for example, every day, spend 10 minutes in silence.
Right.
Or take a walk.
Yeah.
Tech-free.
In the park, you know, around nature.
Exactly. Yeah. That healing quality. When you're in communication with people that matter to you, have your phone out of reach. These are little steps, and I give you a whole bunch of them that you can try out. Mm-hmm. And it really has to do with breaking habits now.
Right.
We've gotten off, kind of out of the gate with technology with some really bad habits because we were so excited about what it can do.
Yeah, because it was new and different.
That's it. But also, if you look at, you know, just little changes, like when we defer to the GPS every time, or, you know, a friend of mine said, why am I still looking at my GPS when I've turned into my street? You know, we have surrendered our authority in our own lives.
It's so funny. I was coming back from a hike the other weekend, and we were driving down from upstate, and it was a way I knew very, very well. And, you know, the woman's GPS told her to take one highway. And I'm like, no, don't take that highway. Take this highway. It'll be faster. Da, da, da. And she's like, no, but I've never driven this way before. I have to follow it. And it's like she would rather trust her phone than a human being.
That's right.
And she didn't know at the time, but I've been on these highways since I was a little kid because we used to live in the Bronx and go upstate every summer to Lake Mohegan. So I like knew this area like the back of my hand.
Yes.
But she wouldn't trust me. She had to rely on her phone. And I just, especially coming out after a hike, you just disconnected from technology for 6 hours.
It's really remarkable. And I think that we're forgetting that we can know things ourselves from our own experience.
Yes.
You know, right now what's happening is that we're taking a country walk, and instead of feeling those pebbles or the breeze or being in that experience, you know, most people now are looking for a place to take a selfie of themselves as a person who takes country walks, you know, that we can post. We're using life to build our brand instead of living life. And if we're not, you know, looking for selfie opportunities, we are taking pictures of every moment of our life, capturing our lives, putting it in our iPhoto file, but again, at the expense of the direct experience of having lived that life. So we've got all this, you know, captured life. We've got proof of life, but we don't own it. We don't know what we would know if we'd walked through it being present in it. And you know, we all have this natural narrator in us, you know, always walking behind us saying, oh, this is going great. This is terrific what's happening here. I'm enjoying this, right? Mm. Narrating our life. Now we have an audience all the time for narrating our life. So we're either capturing our life, or we're documenting it to build our identity, or we're narrating it. So all of those leave us out of the direct experience of it.
Wow beautiful. Okay, time for us to take our last break of the show. So everybody, please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to be talking, I want to ask you just a couple of questions about your other books. And just maybe some advice on how people can be more present in this high technological age, okay?
Great.
So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
Hello, this is Mark Torres.
And Pronto Comics own Dominic Sperano.
And listen to our show, It Came From the Radio, right here on talkradio.nyc, every Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We talk about entertainment, movies,
comic books, and other news.
So make sure you check us out. That's right here, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Wednesday, talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been talking this hour to Nancy Collier, author of the book, The Power of Off, The Mindful Way to Stay Sane in a Virtual World. This isn't your first book, though.
No, this is my third.
Your third.
My third.
So I have to ask
trifecta.
You about inviting a monkey to tea.
Don't you like tea?
I love tea. Is that your first book or your second book?
Second book.
Second book. And then Getting Out of Your Own Way, your first
That's
book?
That's my first book, yeah.
What made you decide to, like, I think I want to write something?
I have always written. It's a part of how I process. I only write about things that I'm really curious about. So, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people have come to me after The Power of Off and asked me to write various offshoots, you know, teens and tech and relationships and tech, which, you know, technology is doing a lot to our intimate relationships.
Yes.
Tremendous amount. One in three people would rather give up sex than their phone, which is fascinating.
That is nuts.
Yeah, it's great. And I love statistics, as you can tell, but 53% of people would rather give up their sense of smell than their phone.
Wow.
But I was going to say, I have sort of stalled on writing some of these others because it's a topic I have explored. I continue to explore, of course, but I really have to not understand something. And the reason I wrote Inviting a Monkey to Tea is that's a book about how do we make peace with our own minds, which I think ultimately is what we need to do to be well. So in this culture, if we have any difficulty in our minds, we need to make it go away. We need to find some solution for it. But I have found that getting okay with not okay, or getting okay with the wild human mind, and being able to bring compassion to it, but not be it, not get lost in its narratives, but not need for it to stop being a mind as it is, for us to be well. I don't want to bet my freedom on my mind changing, because after many years of practice, that doesn't seem to be happening. So I need a different approach. And this book is really about finding a sense of compassion and kindness for the workings of your own mind.
Yeah. Wonderful. Would you say these are kind of books that see the world through a Buddhist point of view, or non-dual point of view, or is it just your view?
And who's the you in that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think that ultimately The Power of Off is a book. I'm a cultural writer. I write about what's happening to us as human beings, whether it be in relationship, it be in technology, it be in whatever, wherever it manifests. But ultimately, it's trying to bring us to a deeper understanding of what we need as human beings. So that has aspects of the non-dual path. It has aspects of me as a psychotherapist, as an interfaith minister. It's really about what is a good life.
Right.
What is a good life? And certainly I've spent many, many, many years on the Buddhist path. So everything that I write is from a Buddhist perspective, of course.
Okay, cool. And just to be clear for our audience, you're not against technology. I mean, you blog for Psychology Today and Huffington Post, so you're pretty with it on the technology
side.
I
am not a Luddite. I love technology, and that's part of why I needed to get very serious about how do I want to be in relationship with technology. This is not about doing away with technology. It's fantastic. It's delightful. It's about finding freedom in technology, not from it.
Right.
You know, the truth is, there's nowhere to hide now. The caves have Wi-Fi. There's nowhere to go. So that's off the table.
Right.
We've got to make a decision that we want to wrestle in our more reptilian tendencies and have our more evolved self holding the reins here about how do we want to be with this great tool, but again, not at the expense of what we really crave in terms of connection, in terms of meaning, in terms of the real juice of life.
Right, right. You know, over the years, because I was very much addicted to technology, even still, but I'm much more mindful about it, I'd look for excuses to turn my phone off or to not pay attention to it. So, you know, when I go on a hike on a weekend, my phone is pretty much off, except unless I pull it out to take a picture, which I don't do that often. You know, I'm involved, I do shamanic work, and when we do our sessions, you know, evening time, Friday evening into Saturday morning, Saturday evening to Sunday morning, the phone is off. You know, I get to the person's house, it is off. This weekend, I'm going up. Our host, Kai Cole of Our Daily Magic, she's involved this big festival up at the farm she's on in New Hampton, Cosmic Community Fest. I think just go to healing.farm and you can find out all about that. Like, I'll be up there. I know I don't get good reception there. Like, I don't have the best, cell service.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that because, you know what, if for a little bit I don't have cell service, great. It's an excuse for me not to look at my phone.
Right. And this is really a new thing that we have to be available at every moment.
Yeah. Oh, I hate
that
idea.
It used to be really only when maybe somebody in your family was dying that you would be this available, waiting for the call to come in.
Or if you were a computer consultant and like your job was to make sure the computers were on all the time, then you could get messages in the middle of the night. But you then once, because I was that person for a period of time, and I used to have a beeper and I hated it. And I would just love, like, the day I turned that into the companies, I would never have to worry about getting beeped again. I was thrilled.
Well, and you know, this state of living in sort of fight or flight all the time, what that's doing to us on a long-term basis is quite damaging. And you know, we need to make ourselves available not just to everyone else, but to ourselves.
Right.
That's the person we've abandoned. We're available to our kids. You know, God forbid you should not be available when your kid contacts you. That's considered, that's like child welfare now needs to be called.
Yeah,
you know?
Like ACS, they, like get them in here. We
oh, God.
Pull this kid. Yeah.
And we're available to our jobs. We're available to our spouses. We're available to our friends.
Yeah.
But we never stop and say, who's here that's doing all this responding? Can I be with her? Can I be with him?
Yeah.
And what does that even mean anymore, to be available and to actually learn how to tolerate our own company? A part of all of this Uber availability is a ruse for dodging ourselves, for never having learned how to actually be with ourselves without an object of attention, without attending to something, without getting something done, without listening to a podcast, just imagine being with ourselves, taking a walk or something so crazy. So all of this, I'm a good person because I'm available to you, sometimes is a dodge of our own company.
Right. And it's just being present and being comfortable to all of it, the good, the bad, the ugly. And if you're uncomfortable about something, be with the uncomfortableness and learn from it. And you're happy, then great. Like, be with the happiness. Enjoy it. Don't. You know, squash it down.
That's it. And, you know, we're really living in a kind of very, very, you could say, unevolved way right now. Because what you're saying is very obvious to us. Maybe experience what you're experiencing. That's
right.
All. If it's
right.
Good, if it's not. But again, in this culture, we don't know how to experience things that are difficult. We know how to get away from them.
Right.
And we're very well schooled at that.
Right.
But we don't really know that thing that you just said. We less and less even know how to, you know, these days, if you walk on the street and let's say you have a little moment, you know, you open a door for a woman with a stroller and you experience in it, before technology was gigantic, we would just hold that in our heart.
Right.
Maybe no one in the end of the day knew that happened, but we changed as a result of
right.
that experience. We felt it. We walked for a little bit and just glowed with that. Now we are immediately, you know, texting it out, you know, kicking it or posting, kicking it with kindness, you know, check me out, hashtag gratitude, you know,
right.
It's like, and we don't even pause for a moment to take in that human moment of sweetness. And so we're less and less, even when it's good,
right.
able to experience what we're experiencing. We're more interested, again, in using every moment to say something about ourselves.
Right. Right. And to just kind of even just take it in when someone does something nice for us or we do something nice for somebody else, to just be present and feel it.
That's it.
Right?
That's becoming a long lost art.
Yeah.
And what I'm seeing in my office is a lot of people who feel like ghosts in their own lives. They feel like, when is my real life going to start? Or there's a disconnect between what they've lived.
So, Nancy, I hate to cut it off, but we're coming to the end of the show. It's been gone so fast. It's been wonderful having you here. If people want to learn more about you or get in touch with you, how would they do that?
www.nancycollier.com. And there's lots of information on there. The book, The Power of Off, The Mindful Way to Stay Sane in a Virtual World, is available everywhere. Books are sold, Amazon, as are my other books. And the Psychology Today blog is up there, as is HuffPost and all the rest.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to
come into
the show. It's been wonderful having you. And just to let everybody know, coming up next, Adam Jeffrey Weinberg with his show, Is It Plugged In? Talking all about technology. Hopefully he listened a little bit of it. Starting next week, we will actually have a new show in Adam's slot, Off the Beaten Path with Oscar Nordstrom, and then Adam will be in the hour exactly opposite that. So thank you all for tuning in. If you want to stay up to date with the latest changes, go to the website and sign up for the newsletter, www.talkradio.nyc. Just put your email address in, sign up for the newsletter, keep you up to date on all the changes. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Appreciate you. Be more mindful. We'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.